the Lord does bless us, it'll be according to His mercy and grace. So you pray for me. The Primitive Baptists have many precious doctrines that we cling to that are found throughout God's Word, clearly found throughout God's Word, that differ from so many other organized religions. We rejoice in the doctrine of irresistible grace. We rejoice in the doctrine of a limited atonement. We rejoice in the doctrine of the preservation of the saints. There are so many different doctrines there that when combined and clearly seen throughout God's Word, causes one that has an open mind and an open heart to rejoice in those things. Oftentimes the heart is not what the problem is. When a child is born again by the Spirit of God, he has an inkling of those precious truths in his heart. And if that child of God will but for a moment open up their mind to their heart, they'll find something to rejoice in. That's already there in their heart. That finds a lodging place of these doctrines that gives us great comfort and great peace. We'd like to try to speak this morning, if it be the Lord's will, on the doctrine of redemption. The doctrine of redemption is a precious doctrine that is found throughout God's Word. Redemption cannot be preached without a prior ownership. In order to redeem something, it was yours to begin with. The Lord redeemed us. The Lord redeemed, the Bible is clear, and we hope to bring that out this morning, redeemed a people that the Lord God loved from before the foundation of the world. We were in Him, in Christ, legally and positionally, before the world was created. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 tells us, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now that's not hard to diagram. It tells us that we were in Him when? We were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. God loved a people from before the foundation of the world, but there was a problem, and the problem was man. Man fell in the Garden of Eden. Now, this did not take God by surprise. You can't do anything to surprise God. God knows all things. He knows all things before it happens. But He made provisions for that fall. Mind you, He didn't cause the fall.
That's right.
There's a big difference in causing and allowing. He allowed the fall. Anything that happens, God allows it to happen. God allows that to happen, but it does not mean that God causes it. He allowed that to happen, but there was a provision in that from before the foundation of the world. There was a contract between the three in one. And that contract was that Jesus Christ would have to come pay the price on Calvary's cross for all of those that God loved from before the foundation of the world. That's redemption. We were His from before the foundation of the world. We fell in Adam to a state of death and sin, but the Lord God Almighty came here, robed in flesh, and redeemed us, bought us back on the cross at Calvary. It wasn't an offer that He made, because you remember our state? Our state was we were dead in trespasses and in sins. Dead means dead. There's no degrees of death. Now there's degrees of life.
That's right.
But I assure you, there's no degrees of death. Once you're dead, you're dead. And we were dead and had no spiritual life in us whatsoever in order to do anything pleasing to God, because we were out of the way. We were dead in trespasses and in sin. For us to do something pleasing to God, it would only be because God is already dwelling in us by His Spirit. But we see there on the cross that the Lord redeemed a people. Now when we look at redemption, we want to look at redemption and trust that we have the time this morning to get into everything here, because when you begin to look at redemption, it's a big subject. There are different forms of the word redemption found in the New Testament. One form is called agorazo. Don't ask me to spell that. I can just barely pronounce it. Ag. It starts with an A. Agorazo. Agorazo simply means to buy. That's what agorazo means. It just means to buy. And when we go into God's Word, we can see that we were bought. In the fourth chapter of Revelations, it tells us that we were bought unto God. In the fifth chapter of Revelations, and in the ninth verse, it says, "And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of," how? By the blood. That's how we were bought. And what were we bought to or unto? We were bought unto God.
That's right. Amen.
And he goes on to say, "And hast redeemed us to God by the blood," by thy blood. It doesn't say that we were redeemed by our obedience.
Right.
It doesn't say that we were redeemed by doing those things that we ought to do in order to go to heaven. It doesn't say that we were redeemed by our works. It says that we were redeemed by His blood. Plain and simple. You don't have to overthink this. Just accept the simple teaching of God's Word.
That's right.
"And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." That simply tells me that God has a people throughout this world and throughout all time that He has redeemed, bought unto God by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The gospel has nothing to do with this. The gospel has everything to do with telling you about it. The gospel has everything to do with proclaiming what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. In that beautiful doctrine of redemption, we can see that we were redeemed. But I want to tell you what, dear child of God, we can close up this Bible right now. We can all head out of here and never darken the doors of this church again, this church building again, and it will not change one thing of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross at Calvary. It will not change one thing that we have been bought unto God. We've been bought unto God. Now the 14th chapter of Revelations tells us that we've been bought from the earth and that we've been bought from among men. The 14th chapter of Revelations, starting at the third verse, "And they sang a song," as it were, a new song. Remember, this is agorazo, to buy. "And they sang a new song," and they sang a song, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. They were bought from the earth. He goes on to say These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Notice it says that they were redeemed from among men, out of every nation, kindred, tongue, tribe, and people. So we see here that the Lord redeemed us. He bought us unto God. He bought us out of the world. He bought us from among men. And then we can see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. Yes, in verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are what? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, you're bought, and you are bought with a price. Agorazo means we're bought. And bought with a price. You know, the same was said about the church, wasn't it? In Acts 20 and verse 28. Take heed unto yourselves and unto the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased. Which he hath purchased. What did he purchase it with? That he hath purchased with his own blood. The purchase was with his blood. There was a great cost in our redemption, dear child of God. For us, it was free. That's grace. That's mercy. That's eternal salvation. Thank God it's free. But I want to tell you, it came at a great cost there on Golgotha's Hill when our Lord and Savior, God himself, if you will, came down here robed in flesh and died a cruel death there on the cross of Calvary. It was there when the creature killed their creator, hung him there on the cross. What a terrible picture that we see of the depravity of man and how depraved man is, that he would take his creator and hang him on the cross there at Calvary's cross. Well, what a great picture of the mercy and the grace of God that he would endure those things and stay there and cry out, Lord, have mercy on them. For Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know that this has been predetermined of God from before the foundation of the world. They don't know that my death on Calvary's cross is going to give them life. You know, you don't see that very much. In fact, I don't know of anywhere where you see where death brings life. Except for on Calvary's cross. Death brought life. And so we can rejoice in that agorazo. We can rejoice in that the Lord bought us. There's also another term of redemption found in the New Testament. It's called ex agorazo. Now you say, boy, you sure are shined up on Greek. Well, let me tell you something. You ever heard of a Strong's Concordance? It just takes a little bit of time. You turn off the television and you'd be amazed at some of the things that you can learn when you study God's Word. It's not that I'm that smart. I'm not. Ex agorazo. Ex agorazo means to buy again out of the hands of another. That's what ex agorazo means. It means to buy again out of the hands of another. We were bought in the third chapter of Galatians, in about the 13th verse. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. We were redeemed. We were bought again out of the hands of the law. The law held us captive because we were weak in the law. The law was not there so that we could become righteous. The purpose of the law was to show us just how unrighteous we are and how short we come to meeting the standards that God requires, because we were dead in trespasses and in sins. So we were in the hands of the law. The hands of the law condemn us. What did he say in the third chapter of Romans? Let me go see about that in the third chapter of Romans. Now we know in the 19th verse, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world become guilty before God. You see, that's the purpose of the law. Now, I got news for you this morning. You're not under the law anymore. You're under grace. You're not under the law.
That's right.
Well, how do you know that? Because you've been redeemed. You've been bought again from the hands of another. You've been brought out of that bondage. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So we see here that we were cursed, but Christ became that curse for us. While we were under the law, he ex agorazo. He bought us again. He bought us back out of the hands of the law back unto himself. Now, isn't that a wonderful doctrine? To know that the Lord did this. We had nothing to do about this at all. But it was the Lord that came and bought us out. Brought us out of that bondage so that we could vitally become one of his. And that is vitally, well, that was applied on Calvary's cross, and it's vitally applied to us in the new birth. When we're born again by the Spirit of God, a child of God that Jesus Christ died for on the cross, before he or she is born again by the Spirit of God, they're still dead in trespasses and in sins. But I assure you, according to God's word, when we're talking about irresistible grace, that before that child of God, sometime between conception and death, God will quicken that child of God out of darkness into the light and liberty of the Lord. They will be quickened again. God's not going to miss one. Somebody says, well, what if somebody dies an untimely death? God wasn't there on time. God is always there on time. You can count on that. And I rejoice in that because I'm not dependent upon me or somebody else. I'm dependent on the holy and sovereign God that knows all things. And he will not lose a one because he paid for their sins on the cross at Calvary. And every one that he redeemed, bought back from under the hands of the law, will one day be with him in glory.
Amen.
And thanks be to God, we'll all be with him one day in glory. That day is coming, but it's coming because of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ upon an undeserving sinner such as myself. And I can rejoice in that. In the fourth chapter of Galatians, it says in the fourth verse, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now I want you to understand this. I want to draw a picture for you in your mind that he came and Christ was under the law, right? And where were we? Listen, Lord, let's read the next verse. To redeem them that were under the law. We were under the law. Christ was under the law. But you know what Christ did? He was that
barrier between us and the law. And he helped the law up. And he fulfilled the law to a jot and a tittle. And because of that, we have been redeemed. We have been brought back from out underneath the law. Because Jesus Christ held that up in our room and in our stead. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That might right there does not mean a might be or a might not. That might right there shows power. It shows the sovereignty of God. It shows his power. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And we're talking about receiving that in our hearts, vitally in our hearts. Listen to what he says. And because ye are sons already from before the foundation of the world. You were a son legally and positionally in Jesus Christ. And because you are sons, he had sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. You know what Abba thought? You know what Abba means? It's a term of endearment. Abba means dada. Just like a child that's lost and scared cries out for dada. I want to tell you what, dear child of God, when we were born again by the Spirit of God, and we saw our naked and depraved state and how worthless and ruined and undone we are, we could do nothing but cry out, Abba, Father. Dada, come to my rescue. And you know the gospel tells us that he did come to our rescue. The gospel just ensures us. The gospel comforts us and it strengthens us that he did come to our rescue. That he did deliver us. He bought us out from underneath the law. Ex agorazo. What a beautiful doctrine the doctrine of redemption is. When you see the Lord did it all. He did all the work. He did it all from beginning to the end. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is all things, dear child of God, and he's here, and the work has been done, and we weren't deserving of it. None of us were deserving of it. I wasn't, and you weren't. But he did it. He did it. He brought us out from underneath that law. What a beautiful thing that is. Agorazo, ex agorazo. I'm not done. There's another one called lutro. That starts with an L. Lutro is the deliverance of a slave or a captive by paying a ransom price. It's the deliverance of a slave or a captive by paying a ransom price. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 says, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversations received by your tradition of fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb who was without blemish and without spot, verily foreordained before the world was, or before the world began. The ransom price is not silver and gold. The ransom price is not how much money you put in this basket here. You know, there are a lot of TV evangelists out there, and they'll take grandma's last dollar if they can. They don't care. And they'll call it sowing a seed of faith. Your faith money. The more you give, the better it's going to be when you go to heaven. No, that's not true, dear child of God. The Bible tells me that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs. It doesn't say one's going to have more of heaven than the other. It says we're all going to have all of heaven.
has nothing to do with what you do here on earth. What you do here on earth has everything to do with the blessings that you receive while you're here on earth. And if you don't enter into those blessings, if you're disobedient to God while in this earth, you can receive the chastening hand of God while you're here in this earth, but it has nothing to do with the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior at that last and notable day of the Lord when He comes back. That has everything to do with the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, that He redeemed us by His blood. There was a ransom price paid. And then there's another term I want to get into. It's called antilutron. Antilutron. You know the best way to remember all these? Is go study them. Go study them. That's the best way to remember it. If you're, I just can't remember all that. Well, it's not going to change from now till you get home. It'll still be there. Go home and study it. And understand the differences. Antilutron is talking about, more or less, is talking about Christ. That Christ gave an adequate and full price. It wasn't a part price. He didn't just meet us halfway. His redemptive work and atonement on the cross wasn't 99.999% effective. When He gave Himself, it was 100% effective. It paid the price full and complete. In Matthew 18 and Matthew 20 and 28, it said the Son of Man came not to be ministered, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for everybody.
Many.
And to give His life a ransom for many. It doesn't say everybody, but it says many. And I know what many means. Many is the greater part of the whole. I don't know how many people Jesus Christ died for as far as numbers. God knows the numbers. But the Bible tells us it's not just a few.
Right.
When we're talking about a few, we're talking about a few that know the blessed truth here in this life. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom in Luke. Fear not, little flock. That little flock we're talking about, dear child of God, is the little flock here that knows the truth and can enter into the kingdom blessings through that truth. But Jesus Christ died for many. He gave His life for many. In 1 Timothy 2 and 6 it says, who gave Himself a ransom to be testified, who gave Himself a ransom to be testified in due time. Who gave Himself a ransom. The price of our redemption was the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now people say, well, now Jesus Christ didn't die. I've had somebody come up to me after a service one time and I said that He died on the cross. He said, Jesus didn't die. He's God Himself. And there's a failure to understand that the man, Christ Jesus, died on the cross at Calvary. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, and His deity did not die. He lived. That's everlasting. You can't kill God in that sense. But in the natural sense, the man Christ Jesus died there on the cross at Calvary. There had to be the death of something that was without spot and without blemish to redeem a people that were full of sin. You see, I couldn't pay my own ransom price. My own ransom price wouldn't work. All the blood of everybody in this world would not pay the ransom price for one person. Why? Because death. Because we're all sinners. The sentence of death is upon all of us. The wages of sin is death, Paul said. That's what we worked for. It had to be a spotless lamb that had to die on the cross. Now death is the wages of sin. If Jesus Christ died on the cross, and I want you to understand this. If Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the man Christ Jesus, if he died on the cross and he was God himself, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, if he was God himself and he was, how could he die if sins were not placed upon him? How could he die if it was just an offering? If it was just an offering that I'm going to die and you can accept it or you don't have to accept it. He couldn't die unless he bore our sins. Now there was no sin in him, but he bore upon his shoulders the weight of our sins.
That's right.
And because of that, he died on the cross at Calvary. And paid that price. As we go further, and we look, I want to go to Exodus now. And I want to show you the redemptive work that we see in the Old Testament. And let's compare that. Let's compare that with the redemptive work that we see that our Lord and Savior did on the cross at Calvary. In the 6th chapter of Exodus. And see the reasons why we have to show this. And we're going to compare it with Israel. It's because we were weak and without strength under the bondage and captivity of sin. We couldn't do it ourselves. Well, we wouldn't even want to do it ourselves, would we? Because we're dead in trespasses and sins. It would be the Lord that came to Israel in the form of Moses, the deliverer, and we'll show you that in the 7th chapter of Acts here in a little bit, that delivered Israel by the power of God. And we see how that in that we too were delivered by our Redeemer. He said in the 6th chapter of Exodus, in the 6th verse, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." Now there were going to have to be some commandments they needed to keep after that, weren't they? They didn't always keep them though. But there were some commandments when they followed the Lord instructed them to keep. And they didn't always do that. And that reminds me of myself. I don't always follow the commandments of God as closely as I'd like to. Life is full of mountains and valleys, slips and falls. And when we find ourselves, our feet have gone astray or off the path, what we need to do is get back in that straight and narrow again. Get our feet back on that path because of what the Lord has done us. Now this was a promise that the Lord gave Israel. He said, "I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians." Does that sound anything like we were under the law? There was a great burden that we were under. The burden of sin and death. And the Lord said, I will bring Israel out from underneath that burden. And with an outstretched arm, he says, I will redeem them. He says also in the 15th chapter of Exodus, Exodus 15,
and 13. In Exodus 15 and 13 says, "Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength and in thy holy habitation." You see, not only were they redeemed, not only were they led out and redeemed, he also guided them in thy strength. It was the Lord's strength that guided them. And we see a beautiful picture of that, do we not, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that redeemed us on the cross at Calvary and guides us now by his strength? If we're able to walk a life that's pleasing to God, surely we'd have to submit. It's by the strength of God. It's by what he's enabled me to do in order to do that. And so we go on to say in Deuteronomy, let me go over there in Deuteronomy chapter 7. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, for the Lord in the 7th verse, "For the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, but were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, he hath brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." You see, they were under taskmasters. When you go read the first few verses of the first chapter of Exodus, you can see the condition and state that Israel was in at that time. It says in the 11th verse of that first chapter, "Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built up Pharaoh treasure cities, Phithium and Ramses." Let's go over here to the in the 13th verse, "And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage." You see, that's the law. Bitter with hard bondage. "In mortar and in brick and all manner of service in the field, all their service wherein they were made them serve, which was rigor." You see, I want to tell you what, dear child of God, when we were under the law, you can go read that in the 7th chapter of Romans, speaking of the Apostle Paul, who said that he was under the law at one time, but he's been freed from that. And what a beautiful thing it is, dear child of God, when we've been freed from that burden, a burden that we didn't know we were carrying, a burden that was revealed to us when we were born again by the Spirit of God and made to hope, made to rejoice in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what he has done for us on the cross. And I want to tell you what, that's when that burden was lifted. That's why the Lord could say over in Matthew, "Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden." You see, there's a heavy burden there. "Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls." We're talking about in the church. Come unto me. We're talking about the church. You say, no, that's talking about coming to the Lord for eternal salvation. Well, John 6:44 says, "No man can come unto me." And then over here in the 11th chapter of Matthew says, "Come unto me." Well, we gotta separate this. We can't come unto the Lord as far as dead alien sinners. "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up again at the last day." There's a drawing in the new birth, dear child of God, where the Lord draws us to him. We can't come unto him, but once the child of God is quickened by the Spirit of God and is brought unto the Lord in that sense and made to hear the gospel news of what Jesus Christ has done for him, then he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." It's only the child of God that's laboring and heavy laden with a load of guilt and sin. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and you shall find rest." What a beautiful thing it is that we can go to the Lord in his church and we can find that rest, dear child of God, that passes all understanding. We can find that rest, dear child of God, that will take away the worries and the troubles of this life. Moses, I said earlier in this book of Exodus, is a type of the deliverer. Let's go to Stephen in the 7th chapter of Acts. In the 7th chapter of Acts, we can go there. Where Stephen is talking to them. In the 35th verse of that 7th chapter of Acts, Stephen recounts and he says, "This Moses, whom they refused, saying, 'Who made thee a ruler and a judge?' The same did God send to be a ruler and a what? Deliverer." Deliverer is a type of Christ who delivered us from the bondage of the law. A deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. So we see here that Israel was redeemed. Israel was delivered out from underneath Egyptian bondage, weren't they?
Yes, sir.
And the Lord, using Moses, brought them out with an outstretched arm. He brought them out. He redeemed them. But there was a price for that redemption. There was a price for that redemption. There's always a price. The price of that redemption was the Passover lamb. See, they had to take a lamb for a house. A lamb without spot. And a lamb without blemish. They had to take an innocent lamb and put it up on the 10th day. And when they came, and when it came time to slay that lamb, that was the price that was to be paid. A lamb for a house. And they were to take that blood and apply it to the door lintels and the door and over the door, right? They were to apply it. What a great picture of the price it took for the Lord to bring us out under the bondage of the law. It was that blood that the Lord said. Now listen, he said in that 12th chapter of Exodus, if you have any questions, he said, well, it was just the Egyptians that he slew because they were of Egypt. Listen to what it says in the 4th chapter of the 11th chapter of Exodus. In the 5th verse, it says, "And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die." It doesn't say, "And all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die," because Israel was not of Egypt.
That's right.
But Israel was in Egypt, weren't they? So it didn't matter if you were an Egyptian or what you were. If you were in Egypt, this applied to you. All the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. And what happened? They all died except for the household of Israel. The firstborn of the nation of the people of Israel did not die because the Lord said, "And when I pass over, and I see the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Not when I see your good works. Not when I see all that you've done. Not when I see your obedience, your staying fast, your holding on to the end." He says, "When I see the blood, I will pass by." You know what, dear child of God? When the Lord sees us, this through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we won't suffer that second death. We won't have to worry about that second death that's spoke about in the 20th chapter of Revelations. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, dear child of God, the Lord will pass over His justice upon us. But He didn't pass over His justice and judgment upon His Son. When the Lord said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. He said, now is the judgment of this world. Christ is saying that. Now is the judgment of this world. What world is he talking about? He's talking about that same world, dear child of God, that we find over in John 3:16. That world that God so loved that he sent his son to die for them on the cross of Calvary. That world right there, dear child of God, is talking about the world of God's elect. Now is the judgment of this world. Our judgment was meted out on the cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago. Praise God. He paid the price. He brought us out from underneath the law. And he paid the price for us there on Calvary's cross. It was that lamb that was kept up. On the 14th day of the same month, that lamb was slain. That lamb was slain. Because that lamb was slain, and that blood was applied to the door post, Israel was spared. That Israel that we're seeing here is talking about the nation of Israel. But I want to tell you, as we begin to study and search out God's Word in the New Testament, we see that there's another kind of Israel. There's a spiritual Israel. It's a type. This Israel here, the nation of Israel, is a type and a shadow of God's spiritual Israel. If you have the love of God in your heart, God has quickened you by His Spirit, I've got some good news for you this morning. You're an Israelite, spiritually speaking.
That's right.
And that blood has been applied. And the Lord, when He comes back, He's going to see that blood. He's going to look at you rather through the blood of Jesus Christ. And your judgment is going to be, come unto me, your judgment in the 25th chapter of Matthew. King shall say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father. Blessed of my Father. Oh, dear child of God, you know what? We're blessed of our Father. He's done the work. Come ye blessed. That's going to be your judgment. Come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. Inherit it. We've got an inheritance. That inheritance is in heaven because of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. God bless you. I appreciate the time.